This past Sunday evening, we had a short time here. We had a little devotional together in view of 9/11, and then we went over to First Baptist and we went to hear Saran Stacy, star running back for the University of Alabama, share his testimony of losing his wife and his four children, all in one instance, being hit by a drunk driver, and how God has redeemed that, and how God continues to redeem that and continues to use that for His glory, to bring people to Jesus. And Saran is an incredible witness for the Lord through his tragedies, through his personal 9/11. And of course, he played for the University of Alabama, and so there were colors of crimson and white there. And so it was wonderful to be there, but as an Auburn fan, it was hard to see all those colors. And every Saturday, as an Auburn fan, as I walk around and as I go different places and see so much crimson and white all around me, it's very difficult. And I'm kidding. And then to top it off, earlier this week, we had a deacon's meeting on Thursday night, and afterward, Andy showed me a bunch of pictures on his phone where he had taken all his little grandchildren and dressed them up in all these colors and taking pictures in Tuscaloosa in front of statue of Bear Bryant. So I'm just seeing a lot of crimson and white here lately. But listen, there's some great news about this. No matter what your team is, there's some good news about these colors. God can teach us, even an Auburn fan, God can teach us something from the colors of the crimson tide. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. And let's look at verses 18 through 20. Isaiah is right about in the middle of your Bible. If you are new at this, Isaiah 1. Verses 18 to 20. Excuse me. Listen to what God says to us here. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Let's pray together. Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, move me out of the way. We need to hear your voice. Thank you for this message. Lord Jesus, speak it to us. We pray it in your name. Amen. God can teach us something from the colors of the crimson tide. Hear Him say, "Let's talk," first of all. Hear God say to you this morning, "Let's talk." We see that in the first part of verse 18. God says, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. Let's talk. You know, God initiates conversation with you. Do you know that? Do you know that God pursues you? You're not the one pursuing Him. Sometimes we fool ourselves. Sometimes we think we're pursuing God. We're trying to find Him. We're chasing after Him. We're trying to get to God or whatever. You know that it's actually the reverse. Do you know the reverse is true? Do you know that He pursues you? You don't pursue Him. God initiates conversation with you. He makes the first move to reconcile your relationship to Him. Because see, throughout Scripture, God says, we've got a big problem. Throughout Scripture, Romans 3:23, God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. It means eternal death, separation from God forever. And then it says that there are none righteous, no, not one. In our Bible study class this morning, we were just looking at Genesis and Noah and the flood. And God said at that time that there was nobody on the face of the earth, that every inclination of people's hearts was evil, even from childhood. God said that about us. And so we've got a problem. We've all sinned. The Bible says we're all sinners, and there's a penalty. There's a punishment. It's death and hell. And that's the punishment. That's the penalty upon us. And so our relationship to God is broken. We are separated from God because of our sins. And you see, God wants us back. You see, He loves us. He wants us reconciled. He wants us with Him forever. He loves you so much that He would give anything, that He would give everything. And He did to get you back, to reconcile you so you could be His, so you could be forgiven and be His again. And you see, He made the first move to reconcile. He had the plan to leave heaven, to come here to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ and to go to the cross on that mission to pay your punishment, to take your penalty for sins. You see, He pursued you. In this book by Brent Curtis and John Eldridge, I read this a few years ago and really thought it was great. It's called The Sacred Romance. In this book, the authors point out the fact that that's the case. God is pursuing you. And they use a few different examples in there. They mention how God is like the potter and you're like the clay. And the clay doesn't have any power to form itself and shape itself into what it needs to be. The potter is the one working on the clay, bending it here, making the pot what it needs to be, breaking it if it needs to be broken, starting over, shaping it the way it needs to be. That's the potter. The potter does that. They mention how God is the good shepherd and we're like the sheep. They mention all these different pictures that God gives us of our relationship to Him. And how He's a good shepherd. We're like the sheep. Well, the shepherd pursues the sheep. When the sheep get lost and they go off and they get away from the flock, what happens? The shepherd leaves the 99 sheep right there that he was taking care of that Jesus mentions. And he leaves and he goes after. He pursues the one that is lost. God is pursuing you. God gave us the example. Jesus mentioned the lost coin, that there was a woman that was searching for a lost coin. And He said, this is like God in you. This is just an example. This woman lost a coin and she searched everywhere in her house, just turning the tables upside down, looking everywhere, sweeping the house until she could find this coin. And that's a picture of God seeking you. Seeking you if you don't know Him yet. If you're still in your sins, if you haven't repented and come to Him yet, He's pursuing you. He's gone after you. He's looking for you. Our job is just to let Him find us. Just respond to His call. And so the question for you this morning is, have you said, okay, God says, let's talk. Come, let us reason together. Have you said, okay, okay, God? Have you said that in response to His pursuit of you, He's going after you? Have you said, okay, okay, I'm listening? Have you let Him find you? Well, maybe you say, well, yeah, let him find me. I remember I was a certain age and I heard that good news and I repented of my sins. I put my faith in Jesus and I've been saved ever since he came into my life. Yes, I've let him find me. But what about in his process of sanctification? What about how he's working on you? What about different sin areas? Is there an area in your life that you're not letting him talk with you about? Maybe you are a believer already, but is there anything in your life that he's saying, let's talk, but you're not stopping, you're not listening, you're not saying, okay, what is it, Lord? What about that? Hear him say, let's talk. Secondly, hear him say, learn from the colors of the crimson tide. Look at verse 18, the last two parts of that verse. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Learn from these colors, the colors of the crimson tide. What are they? They're crimson. I didn't wear this shirt for no reason. They're crimson. And some of you have already been calling the fashion police because I know it's just about fall and I have these white pants on, but there's a reason. The colors are crimson and they're white. That's the colors of the crimson tide, crimson and white. This red crimson, this deep red, he mentioned scarlet a little bit before that. And then he says this crimson red, your sins are like this. And that red is symbolizing bloodshed. You could look at it as symbolizing bloodshed, murder, sins. You know, when we think of bloodshed, we think of pain, heartache. Sin causes you pain, heartache. It causes others pain and heartache. No man is an island. Your sin, don't fool yourself. Your sin is, whatever it is, it's not just hurting you. It hurts anybody and everybody around you. Sin causes yourself and others pain. Sin always takes you further than you want to go. And it keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it costs you more than you're willing to pay. Take that to the bank. You can take any sin. You can blow it and do something wrong and fail. And then you can look back at it and you say, was that true? You'll find it is. That sin always takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you're willing to stay, and costs you more than you're willing to pay. What pain are yours causing? What pain are your sins, the things, anything in your life that's displeasing to God? What pain is it causing you? What pain is it causing your family? What pain is it causing others around you? Well, this crimson color, the answer is also a crimson color. Our sins, our stains, all these things, anything in our life that's displeasing to God. Yes, it's red like crimson. It's like a stain. But you know what? Jesus came and He shed His blood. And that blood, that same color, that crimson blood, that's the answer. That's what cleanses you. That's what will purify you. That's what will make you as white as snow. You see, He was our substitute. He was your substitute. God had said that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. And so while sin causes bloodshed in some cases, and while it causes pain, at the same time, because of sin, because of our penalty, our punishment for sin, it causes bloodshed. That's the penalty for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. God tells us in Hebrews. And so what did He do? He came to shed His blood for you so there could be forgiveness. And so Jesus went to the cross and let His blood spill out, died for you. so that there could be that forgiveness, so that you could be cleansed, so that you could be, as the Scripture says here, what God wants to make you, white as snow, white as wool. Are you that starch bright white yet? You think about those laundry detergent commercials and that maybe there'll be a white shirt and it'll get a blood stain on it or something like that, and then they'll use that particular laundry detergent and then it's just shining white afterward. Well, Jesus' blood is your cleansing agent. And the question for you is, are you white? Are you just shining white? Have you let Him cleanse you and purify you with His blood? You can be. You can be. It's so simple. So hear Him say this morning, let's talk. Learn from the colors of the crimson tide. And next, be willing and obedient, not resisting and rebelling. Be willing and obedient, not resisting and rebelling. Look at verse 19 and 20. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land, God says. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Be willing and obedient, not resisting and rebelling. Don't you want to eat the best from the land? Don't you want God's best for you? God loves you. He has incredible plans for you. He has the best for you. And He wants you to have it. He wants to give it to you. Don't you want it? Don't you want to eat the best? Don't you want His blessings? Well, Scripture teaches throughout that obedience brings blessing. That any time, take it to the bank, if you obey God, any time we obey, He blesses us. We're blessed. To experience God's best, be willing and obedient. And you'll be as white as snow. As we receive His best, we're white as snow. We receive eternal life by realizing our sinfulness, realizing our stains, realizing that Jesus paid it, and then turning to Him and saying, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for being raised from the dead. I believe You, Lord. I put all my faith in You. I'm just trusting You to save me from my sins, Jesus. Nothing I can do. No good works. Nothing. Jesus, only You can save me. And if that's God's answer, that's the answer to being as white as snow. And if that's our response, if our faith is in Jesus, then He cleanses us. He makes us as white as snow. And we have eternal life. And He also promises us abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It's God's best. He wants you to have His best. But it's from faith in Him. It's from faith in Jesus. It's from being willing, wanting to follow Him, being willing and obedient. Not wanting it your way, but wanting it His way. At that deacon's meeting, Neil prayed for us at the end, and that really stood out to me. That's what he said. He said, God, he said, we want to, Lord, help us to just want Your way and not our way. That's what it's all about. Every decision that you make, you need to ask yourself, am I doing this? Am I going God's way? Am I doing what You want, Lord? Or am I doing what I want? Jesus gave us this incredible example of obedience and how it brings blessing. You remember when He was at a wedding in John chapter 2 and they had run out of wine and His mother said, Jesus, make them some wine here or something. Help them. They're out of wine. And He said, my time has not yet come. But just a few moments later, I guess God's timing did come. And then He told the servants, He said, go and fill these 6 jars with water and come back. And they did. They obeyed. Jesus was God in the flesh. They obeyed. They came back. And you know what? They didn't just fill them up, almost to the top. It says that they filled them to the brim. They were over-obeying. They were completely obeying Jesus. You think they were about to be blessed? Yeah. Obedience always brings blessing. You know what they got to see after that? They obeyed him. And then he said, take some out and go give it to the master of the banquet. And now I don't know when the water turned into wine. May not have turned into wine yet. He may have really been testing their faith and saying, scoop out some of this water, go give it to the master of the banquet. Nonetheless, whenever it turned to wine, they did it. They scooped some out and they went and they brought it to him. Suppose it was still water and they brought it to him. And then the master of the banquet tried the water that had been turned into wine. And once he drank it, he said, what are you guys doing? You're supposed to give the best at the beginning. And then after we're all out, then you bring out the cheaper stuff. You see, the stuff God makes is the best. When we obey Him, we see God's best. They got to see the water turn into wine and they got to experience the best. God's best. That's how it always is. Obedience brings blessing. But when we resist and rebel, the opposite is true. That brings cursing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, I believe it is. Read that, about the blessings and the cursings. When we resist and rebel, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God's heart, previously in this chapter, in the first couple of verses, He's talking about how these people have rebelled and they've gone their own way. And then He goes on to say in verses 11 through 17, He talks about how even their worship is just despicable to Him. This is God talking. Your songs, your worship of Me, all this stuff, it's just, I'm paraphrasing big time, but it's just disgusting to Me. And when you lift up your hands in prayer, I'm not even going to listen to you. I'm not even going to hear anything you say because you're resisting and you're rebelling. And He calls them out on that. But if they would just be willing and obedient, He would bless them. Are you resisting and rebelling in any way against Him in your life? Is there anything? Is there any way that you're resisting or rebelling? Uh-oh. If so, well, great. I'm here. Here I am in worship. Maybe my worship's displeasing to Him. God says, come, let's talk. He wants to meet with you. He wants to talk about these things. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants your sins to be like white as snow. And so even our worship, when we come in here, it's just displeasing to Him. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we say, why aren't you hearing my prayers? What's going on? Maybe He's just saying, let's talk. What about where you're resisting? What about where you're rebelling? I've been telling you about that. What are you going to do about it? Well, hear Him say, let's talk. And then learn from the colors of the crimson tide. Be willing and obedient, not resisting and rebelling. And finally, notice your reminders. Notice your reminders. From now on, when you see anything to do with Alabama, from now on, Auburn fan, whatever kind of fan you are, when you see anything to do with the University of Alabama, when you see anything to do with the crimson tide, from now on, you see a t-shirt, you see somebody walk by, you see a flag on a car, you see it everywhere. I can't even mention all the places. You see somebody drinking out of a coffee cup with the crimson tide on it. From now on, when you see it, hear God say, look at the crimson, look at the white, and hear Him say, let's talk. Learn from these colors. Be willing and obedient. I want to make you as white as snow. Examine yourself. Is there any crimson there? I want to make you white. Are you willing and obedient? Be willing and obedient. Don't be resisting and rebelling. Well, what do you need to do now? After hearing this, after hearing God's word, what do you need to do right now? Maybe you need to say okay to God. Maybe you know that God is saying, let's talk. Maybe this morning you need to say, okay, let's talk, Lord. You're right. Are your sins crimson this morning? Do you want them white? Have you been resisting or rebelling in any area of your life? Do you want to be willing and obedient? Deal with that. Deal with that this morning. In just a minute, we're going to pray. You pray about it. Pray at your seat. If you want to come to the altar and pray about it, you can come and pray there. But move from crimson to white. Maybe you need that relationship with Jesus this morning. Maybe that's your biggest need. Maybe you see the crimson, you know you're a sinner, and you want to be white. You just haven't turned to Jesus yet. You haven't trusted Him. Maybe you've been trusting in your own good works. Maybe you've been trusting in something you can do. Going to church, reading the Bible enough. I was baptized when I was 8 years old. Maybe you're dependent on some of those things to make you white as snow, and none of them will. Only Jesus will. Only Him and His blood. Maybe that's what you need this morning, just to say, oh, Jesus, move me from crimson to white. Thank You for what You've done. Come into my life. Save me. Maybe you've been resisting and rebelling God's call to join this church. Maybe you know that this is where He wants you, and you've been resisting and rebelling in that way. Well, join the church this morning. Step out of the aisle and come walk down and say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Maybe it's being baptized. Maybe you know you gave your life to Christ and you still haven't been baptized yet. You haven't been baptized the way Jesus was baptized. And going under the water and coming up, just like He did, how He identified with us all through the book of Acts. Maybe you want to give your life to Him this morning. Whatever it is, whatever you need to do, whatever decision you need to make, you do it. Do whatever the Lord tells you. Chris is going to come and lead us in an invitation to Him. And you step out. Step out in faith. And we'll rejoice with you. Come share with me down here if you feel led to.